the remains of the bullet that killed journalist Shireen Abu Akleh. This image is being broadcast for the first time and shows the type of ammunition used to kill the veteran Al Jazeera journalist in the occupied West Bank last month. According to experts, the green-tipped bullet is capable of piercing armor and is used in an M4 rifle. When we simulated the green-tipped bullet using 3D models, and according to ballistic and forensic experts, the munition that ended Shireen's life was a 5.56mm caliber. The bullet was first designed and manufactured in the United States. According to the Palestinian Prosecutor's Office and the autopsy report, the bullet entered the lower part of Shireen's head, ricocheted off her helmet, and lodged itself in her head.
This M4 and this munition is used by the Israeli army. And you just go through Google, you find one of the guns which used by the Israeli army is M4, called M4. It's available and it is used. It is used by the units.
General Fayez also believes when using such a bullet, the intention is clear.
When any soldier used it, he used it for definite target. He want to hunt, want to kill.
We have used 3D models to identify the types of weapons Israeli soldiers were using in this video. We found it was a M4 rifle, the type of gun that uses 5.56 caliber bullets. Open source data supports the fact the Israeli special unit accused of shooting Shireen uses this type of weapon, used in a non-combat situation, fired by the Israeli army at clearly identifiable journalists doing her job. Justice for Shireen is yet to be delivered. Accountability has still not taken place. Questions remain unanswered, including if an order was given to kill her. Why was she shot despite being clearly marked as a journalist and posed no threat? What made an Israeli soldier target her from such a short range? All of this is further reason why the Palestinian Authority and Al Jazeera Media Network have demanded an independent investigation into the killing of Shireen Abu Akleh. Asad Beg, Al Jazeera.
All right, joining us now from Tel Aviv is Ori Givati. He's the advocacy director at Breaking the Silence. That's a group of former soldiers who've served in the Israeli military that want to speak out about the reality of what they see as the Israeli actions in the occupied territories. Thank you for joining us. Just explain to viewers so they have an idea of who you are and what your background is. And I understand, of course, you were not directly involved in the events of that day and, you know, obviously the killing of Shireen Abu Akleh. So, but I want to ask you in general, through your experience, you've been a soldier, you've been a military man. Is this type of bullet, the 5.56, is that something commonly used by Israeli forces?
Yeah, look, Sami, first of all, thank you for having me, and I really commend the Al Jazeera and everyone else who continue to dive deep into this incident. It is so important for anyone who wants to keep human rights and protect Palestinian rights. For your question, look, yes, this bullet is a very, very common bullet. Yeah, it's like the bullet that most soldiers use during their service. But if I may, I may look at the broader picture, right? I think that this investigation is extremely important, as I said. But we also have to remember that these kind of incidents happen on a weekly basis, right? It's important for you to mention a kid, Zaid Said Ghanim, only 2 weeks ago, 14-year-old, was also killed, and there is less talking about that incident, right? And I think we should look into the killing of Shireen 100%, but also remember that killing innocent Palestinians is something that happens on a weekly basis, and most of them go unnoticed.
Okay, I'm going to get to that, but if you bear with me for a moment before we broaden it out, I want to ask you a few more questions about this bullet. This is an armor-piercing bullet, right? What typically would you, not you personally, what typically would an Israeli soldier use an armor-piercing bullet for when, I guess, the people wearing armor, body armor, in the occupied territories are Israeli forces and journalists, right? Those are the people who typically wear body armor.
Look, Samia, I have to tell you, as I told also the producers, we are not experts in exactly what this specific bullet did. So I don't feel comfortable answering that specific question because it's not our sure. area of expertise.
Sure, sure. I don't want to put you in a situation where you have to speculate. Maybe you can tell us, you were talking generally there about the targeting of civilian Palestinians. Tell us about instances, you know, people listening to this interview, is this something that your group has documented and seen and experienced? How routine is that? What kind of instructions are issued to soldiers in terms of how careful they should be to avoid civilian casualties when they're operating in the occupied territories?
Look, I think that we have to remember that there is a really big difference between the orders that we receive as soldiers and what eventually happens on the ground, which is what matters. I, as a soldier, and all of our testifiers receive a very clear and rules of engagement, who we are allowed to open fire at, what are the right justifications for that, and so forth. But eventually, when we see the missions taking place, yeah, when we rule over millions of people with the military, when we daily invade Palestinian cities and towns and homes, these orders, in many, many cases, are not even close to be fulfilled. And the thing that we have to remember here, to look at here, is that when innocent Palestinians are killed, the system always justifies it. Always justifies it. There is no accountability in the military for killing of innocent people. And this is why the difference between the orders given, which if I will now describe to you all the orders, it will sound to you reasonable, I believe. Mm. The problem is not that. The problem is the fact that we are sending soldiers for 55 years to invade in places full of civilian people. So, of course, civilians will be killed.
Have you seen a pattern of that happening? Your group, have you documented a pattern of the rules protecting civilian life being ignored systematically in the occupied territories?
100%. We have testimonies from hundreds of soldiers. We have the incidents that are happening, right? Let's take the killings of the fence on the Gaza fence in March, May 2018, right? 63 people in one day unarmed. Yeah, we have killings of children in nonviolent protests. We have dozens of testimonies about how the orders are one thing and what happens on the ground is a completely different thing. And in the end, the system doesn't really take care or tries to improve. Because you know why, Sami? Because there isn't any way to occupy millions of people with a military force and invade their homes and villages and towns without killing innocent people. And the sad fact is that the system as a whole doesn't really care about Palestinian life.
Okay, I want to pick you up on something which is very interesting you mentioned. You said we've got the testimony of 100 soldiers who say that. What happens to those guys, basically? What happens in their testimony after there has been, a deliberate violation of rules that led to the loss of civilian life? Take us through the process. Is there any investigation? Does anybody question you? Does anybody say, how did that happen? How did you kill, as you said, there, Zaid Zahrani? Or is it just everybody knows and keeps silent? What actually happens as a matter of process?
Yeah. Look, just to correct you, we have over 1,300 testifiers. We have thousands of testimonies from different incidents all around the occupied territories. And look, eventually, the soldiers that we speak to, that give their testimony, some of them, the vast majority of them, were part of the missions, and some of them were the actual enactors of the different human rights violations. But in the end, and this goes back to the investigation of Shirin also, the system understands, the occupation, the military, Israel, our country, understands that if we will really look into all these cases, it will all go back to the root cause, right? And this is why the system is terrified from actually conducting investigations, right? The soldier that is 19, 20, 21 years old and receives a mission to enter the city of Jenin, yeah, with his unit, and is faced with violence. It's faced with violence, right? It's important to mention that. And ends up killing an innocent Palestinian. The vast majority of these cases will be because the system sent him to do that, not because he.
So you're saying nobody investigates them, basically. Nobody questions them when they come back. Nobody investigates them.
Yeah, of course. You know, like I haven't seen Israel investigates any, really, you know, for really investigating any incident. When we see investigations of similar cases, right, it will only be if there is a very clear documentation of the incident, yeah, very clear, undisputable documentation of the incident. And even then, there will be no accountability. There might be some disciplinary punishment. You know, we saw a few years ago a soldier killing, it was a very famous video in the center of Hebron, a Palestinian who was lying on the ground after stabbing another soldier, and he shot him in the head. Clear video of killing of someone who is not a threat at all, and this soldier received 8 months in military prison. Yeah? So imagine what happens to all the soldiers, to all the different incidents of killings of innocent Palestinians that are not documented. Israel very clearly understands that we cannot investigate, because every investigation will end up with the real blame. And the real blame is the fact that we decided as people to occupy the Palestinians. And of course, innocent people will keep dying as long as we do that, as long as we invade their homes.
Okay, thank you very much for talking to us, Ori Givati there. Very important to shed light on an issue which is important for the human rights of Palestinians as well as Israelis to live in peace and respect. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Sami.